If you work in university maintenance, Grainger considers you an MVP. Because your playbook ensures your arena is always ready for tip-off. And Grainger is your trusted partner, offering the products you need, all in one place. From HVAC and plumbing supplies to lighting and more. And all delivered with plenty of time left on the clock. So your team always gets the win. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, visit Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, let's save the Republic, everybody. Hello, I'm Todd Starnes. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today, everybody. And what a very busy... And what a very consequential day for the Republic. And those of you that are listening to this program across the Commonwealth of Virginia, we have a number of radio stations that carry this show. This is a big day for you, voters heading to the polls. And all you need to know is that you need to vote no on this referendum. Now, many of you are saying, Todd, why have we been talking about this for the past couple of weeks? What's going on in Virginia, and why does this matter to me? I live in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. I live in Salem, Oregon. I live in Wichita, Kansas. Why does this impact me and my life? Well, the reason why it does, ladies and gentlemen, if the Democrats are able to do this, and let me just say this, what they are doing is sneaky and devious. That's what's going on here. The Virginia voters are going to be deciding today whether or not to redraw congressional maps. And the whole point of this legislation is to redraw maps that will favor Democrats. If this passes today, if enough people vote yes on this referendum, then it would pretty much wipe out the Republican congressional delegation. Now, hear me on this. We've run the numbers. I've looked at all of the competitive races around the nation. I just want you to step back for a moment and follow me on this. If everybody wins their races, all right, if across the country, if all the Republicans win their races, and if all the Democrats win their races, all right, and everybody, it is as it is, the Democrats will take control of the House of Representatives. And here's the reason why. Because four Republican congressional districts will be wiped out in Virginia. That's how important it is for every single freedom-loving patriot to get off of their blessed assurance and go and vote today. That's how important it is. If Republicans stay home and do nothing, as quite frankly the Republicans have done since Donald Trump got reelected, if the Republicans stay home, then Hakeem Jeffries is going to be the new Speaker of the House. And the impeachment proceedings will begin, I would say, within hours after he's sworn in. That's what's going on here, and that is what ultimately is at stake here. So right now, we understand early voting began in March. Today is Election Day, so we will know one way or the other tonight how things went. And it certainly appears that the numbers are matching the gubernatorial race. Now, I'm just going to say this, and we would love to hear from some of our Virginia voters, but there has been tens of millions of dollars, some $93 million of dark money that's been funneled into the Commonwealth. Most of that is coming from, overwhelmingly, that money is coming from the Democrats. As a matter of fact, Barack Hussein Obama is making a personal push here. So this is his pet project. So Barack Obama, and if you've noticed everything bad that's happened in this country, Barack Hussein Obama has been behind all of it. You see, while his pals, the Islamists, are waging jihad on the streets of American cities, Obama is waging a political jihad. And that's what's going on here. Now, right now, Virginia's 11 House seats are held by, what, 6 Democrats, 5 Republicans. If voters approve the referendum today, if that happens, there will only be one Republican district left. And here's the funny part. Five of the congressional seats will actually be representing parts of Northern Virginia, which that's the area around Washington, D.C. So at least 2/3 of the state will have no representation anywhere near them. That's what the Democrats are up to. And Tim Kaine, the senator, is out there saying, yeah, we know this is not fair, but we've got to do this to stop Donald Trump. I want you to listen to cut number 2, please.
Let's talk about the last vote there in Virginia, the presidential vote. Vice President Kamala Harris won by about 5 percentage points. So the state is relatively split with a left lean, but 90% of House members from Virginia being from one party.
90% of Virginians are not Democrats. That's true. Correct. But about 100% of Virginians want election results to be respected. We're deeply worried that Donald Trump will try to interfere with the election results this November or in 2028, because we saw him do it before. And we have to have a Congress that will stand up to it. In 2021, all 5 Republicans in Virginia went along with Donald Trump in his effort to overturn election results. And so we're giving Virginians a chance to vote, which Republican states have not done, about whether they want to have a congressional delegation that will stand up against Donald Trump's tyranny.
All right. Dylan, I'm going to put you on the spot here. We don't do that all the time, but I want to put you on the spot today, if that's all right.
Depends, but yes, go ahead.
All right. I'm going to read to you the actual question on the ballot today. So let's say you've moved to Virginia and you're going to vote today. And this is the question. All right. Should the Constitution of Virginia be amended to allow the General Assembly to temporarily adopt new congressional districts to restore fairness in the upcoming elections? I would say, yeah, sure. I agree with that. Absolutely. I mean, I want to have fairness in the elections.
But fairness is always good.
That has nothing to do with fairness, though. This is literally taking, and right now, I think you've got six Democrat congresspeople, and you have 5 Republican. And their definition of fairness is to do away with all of them except for one. So they want 10. They want 10 Democrat congresspeople and 1 Republican. By the way, another thing they're not doing, none of the materials actually show you where all of the congressional districts are, and that is intentional because 5 of them will actually be around the Washington, D.C. area. That's how insanely criminal this is. But all of this has everything to do with stopping Donald Trump. Here is Jason Miaret. He is the former Attorney General of the Commonwealth. Cut number 8, please.
It is the single most gerrymandered map in the entire country. So that's not me saying it. The Virginia Public Access Project, which is a nonpartisan group, has said that this would be the most gerrymandered map in the entire country. It literally would be more gerrymandered than even what you see in the state of Illinois, which is saying something. And it is the opposite of community of interest. Hampton Roads loses a congressional seat. Shenandoah Valley is suddenly drawn into 4 different congressional districts. You're going to have 5 congressmen that all reside within 20 miles of each other in Northern Virginia. This is the definition of a map that serves politicians and not serves Virginians.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's the lay of the land in Virginia. Curious to hear from you about voter turnout. Did you go and vote today, and how did you vote? The correct response for the question that's on the ballot is no. The answer is no. That's all you need to know when you go to vote today. But curious to hear from you, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. The brazenness of this is, well, it's pretty darn impressive, to be honest with you, because the Democrats are not making, look, they're not embarrassed by this at all. They know exactly what they're doing. They're stealing the election. That's what they're doing. And they want to fix the House of Representatives. And that's what they're going to do with this horrible thing that's happening today. And my only concern here are the Republicans. Are you people going to get out and go and vote? And I know that the Republicans are horrible. I get that. But still, the Democrats are even worse. As horrible as the Republicans may be, it is unthinkable to put the Democrats back in control of this country or the Congress. It's just it's unthinkable. Unthinkable. Primarily because they're going to be shipping yours truly off to some sort of a re-education camp. I have no doubt about that. These people are very dangerous and very disturbing. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up a little bit later, we're going to be talking to Josh Jones, a Republican strategist about all of this. Also, Kelly Sadler, who is actually a Newsmax TV host, is going to be joining us. Turns out that her kids in Fairfax County schools were actually being told by their teachers how to vote in the whole redistricting thing. That's insane. Also, coming up, a very disturbing story out of Minnesota. Liz Collin, who is a senior reporter at Alpha News, has an exclusive story. We've got it up on our website about two schools that are being renovated, and these public schools will have exclusive space for Muslim kids to pray. They're also installing foot washing stations there in the Minnesota area. So we're going to be talking to Liz Collin about that, find out what the heck is going on up there. Your calls as well. And also, coming up, we're going to tell you about just one of the most insanely, insanely anti-American stories we've had in a long time coming out of the U.S. Senate of all places. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and you don't have a weight problem. You have a body that's in survival mode. No medication, crash diet, or app is going to fix that. Ozempic, the GLP-1 drugs, they're exploding in popularity. And for some, well, you know what? They're a useful tool. But they don't address why your body started storing fat in the first place. At PhD Weight Loss, they treat unwanted weight as a symptom, a signal that your metabolism, hormones, and stress response need attention. And when those get corrected, well, the weight comes off naturally and it stays off. They're not just helping you lose weight. They're helping you increase health span and extend longevity. Now, I've lost a good number of pounds with PhD Weight Loss, and it's still coming off right now. I want you to call PhD Weight Loss and mention Stearns. You'll get 2 weeks free in the program, and they're going to pay for your food. That's a $1,500 value, completely free. Call 864-644-1900 now. Mention Stearns. That's 864-644-1900. Or go to myphdweightloss.com. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So an interesting story that we've been following here, and it's really a disturbing story. It involves Senator Chris Murphy, who is the Democrat from Connecticut. And I don't know about you. Let me put a pin here on that for just a moment, and let me just say this. It frustrates me that we are not enforcing laws that are on the books. And that has frustrated me for a very long time. And instead of enforcing the laws that are on the books, Congress will just go ahead and pass more laws that are on the books that are simply not enforced. And it makes no sense to me. Been upset about this for a very long time. And I'm a compassionate person. I believe I'm a kind person. But I also believe in the rule of law. I do believe that there is a time and a place for mercy, but there's also a time and a place for dealing with the consequences of your actions. And time again, we have seen those in power who have been able to scoot by. They've been able to get away with things. And I got a problem with that. I've always had a problem with that. That, by the way, is one of the reasons why I was such a fierce voice in releasing the Epstein files. I believe that those who committed crimes, especially crimes against young people, should be brought to justice. They should be held accountable for their actions. That's just how I've always felt about that. And I know that some people are saying, but Todd, there may be some innocent people. I'm not talking about the innocent people. I'm talking about the people who committed crimes. I'm talking about that $17 million slush fund on Capitol Hill. I want to know who ended up having to pay money out of that. We need to know the names of those people. And no, and I've already heard the argument. Well, Todd, we just have to protect the victims. You know, we can't be releasing who, you know, which senators were kind of, having their way with the interns and the pages. We can't do that because that might expose the victims. No, I don't think it would. I really don't. I have no interest in exposing the names of the victims. But if we have predators on Capitol Hill, we need to know who those people are. And they need to be dealt with. Lickety split. And that brings me to Senator Chris Murphy, the Democrat from Connecticut. He's under fire because he cheered on America's enemy during the middle of a war. Now, it was reported, and this was a fake news report, by the way, but it was reported that 26 ships in Iran's shadow fleet were able to run the U.S. blockade in the Strait of Hormuz. In response to that news, the senator tweeted a one-word reply. Awesome. Awesome. Do you understand what he was doing here, the senator? He's celebrating the fact that Iran was able to sneak by the U.S. Navy, which, by the way, that did not happen. That's fake news. The White House spokesperson, Olivia Wales, telling Fox News, the congressman's social media post crossed the line. It takes an insane level of Trump derangement syndrome to cheer for a terrorist regime that chants death to America. She went on to say, Chris Murphy is an America last radical left lunatic who stands for illegal aliens and Iranian terrorists over the American people. The only thing awesome will be when he is out of office. The Trump War Room weighing in on X, saying this is what late-stage TDS looks like, cheering on Iran to defeat the U.S. Navy. Now, the congressman's office has weighed in because, I mean, the outrage has been quite severe, as it should be. And the congressman's office said, this is it's just sarcasm. We're just being sarcastic. Really? Can you help point out the sarcasm in your one-word reply, sir? Can you do that? Now, I know that the White House is saying, well, this is just TDS. It's a Trump derangement syndrome. You know how these people are. I do know how they are. But I think this goes above and beyond TDS. Because either Senator Murphy is a moron or he is a traitor to his country. And I think it's time that we start calling out these treasonous Democrats for who they are and what they really are. Understand this. Treason is a crime in the United States of America. Well, there he goes again, that old Todd Starnes. He's got that hyperbole. He's on the hyperbole meter today, calling Chris Murphy a traitor. Come on, Starnes. No, but it's true. I was looking up the U.S. Code, and treason, by the way, is still a crime in this country. Still law on the books. And in part, treason is defined as giving comfort to the enemy. And I do believe that Senator Murphy's comments were giving, quite frankly, aid and comfort to the enemy. And that's what he meant to do. You've got people in the media cheering on the Iranians. You've got people on Capitol Hill cheering on the Iranians. They want the American people, they want the Americans to fail. They wanted those pilots captured by Iran. That's why there weren't any jubilant celebrations on the Democrat side of the aisle when we were able to go in and rescue our chopper pilots that went down. But I'm telling you, I think, ladies and gentlemen, what we ought to be doing here is either censuring Chris Murphy. No, that's not good enough. I think he ought to be brought up on charges. It's time to start playing hardball with these people, and it's time to start enforcing the laws on the books. Shame on you, and it is time to stop coddling anti-American politicians. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Here's something most people don't know. When Warren Buffett was just 13 years old, he didn't put his money into a savings account. While other kids were earning next to nothing at local banks, Buffett put $114 into a little-known investment. Today, that $114 would be worth over $15 million. And it wasn't a risky trade, it wasn't even insider knowledge. It was an account that's been around since 1888, and over the last 25 years, it's averaged 29% a year. That's what happens when your money is allowed to compound. Compare that to today's savings accounts, paying less than 0.5%. While inflation quietly eats away at your buying power. Buffett understood early, banks are great businesses, just not for savers. If you'd like to see what some investors call the 29% account, go now to secretaccount29.com. That's secretaccount, the numbers, 29.com. Secretaccount29.com.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Hey, how do you guys feel about all of these gay couples that are adopting babies? I'm just curious. Well, actually, they're really not adopting. They're purchasing the children. I know that, remember Transsec Booty Judge or Booty Juice, Pete Booty Juice, his name. The transportation secretary, he's not trans, but that is the abbreviation, Transsec. I can see where that would be confusing to people. So anyway, we'll just call him Pee Booty Juice. And his husband, is his name Chastity? Yeah, Chastity. Chasen. I forget. It's these millennial names, they slay me. So anyway, they bought a couple of kids. And pretended like they actually gave birth to them. And they there was all about the chest feeding, all that kind of weird stuff. Anyway, now there's a report out of Canada where three gay men who are involved in a, Dylan, what's the appropriate word here? Not perversion.
Throuple.
Throuple. Is it a throuple?
I think throuple.
Throuple?
Yeah.
Throuple. All right. So it's a three-way. So these three gay guys are in a relationship together, and they're adopting a child. Take a listen.
For the last 7 years, Jonathan Bédard, Eric Leblanc, and Justin Maheu have been waiting to become parents together. Oh. Something that officially happened yesterday.
She's perfect, of course. Like any, she's curious, she's energetic, she loves to play, she loves to jump, she loves to dance.
They adopted their three-year-old through Quebec's Youth Protection Services, but first had to be approved as foster parents, something that required a lot of work and openness, they say, to their relationship.
We had a lot of things to go through in order to be able to be to have that accreditation, and it's through that process that they learned that we are a little different because we're three, but we're not different from any other family.
Some other Canadian provinces, including Ontario and British Columbia, legally recognize more than two parents. Quebec does not. Last April, a Quebec Superior Court judge ruled the government has a year to modify the civil code to allow a child to have more than two recognized parents, saying the current situation is unconstitutional and violates the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms since it discriminates against different family models. Quebec is appealing the decision. The Justice Ministry declined our request for an interview, saying they won't comment since the matter is in court.
We think that it either way it might go all the way to the Supreme Court,
yeah.
But we're saddened from the fact that we're not backed by our own government, which is supposed to be an open government that wants to help every single family.
While the law doesn't recognize all three as parents, they say they're sharing the responsibilities equally and doing whatever they can to create a stable home and secure future for their daughter.
We talk about what come up if we split up or if someone dies and stuff like that. We do anticipate those things because we have to, because we're not protected if it doesn't.
And after what it has taken to get here, they're enjoying this moment.
We are lucky to be three to give her all that support, but I think we're the lucky ones to have her in our life.
All right. That's the report out of the Canadian side of the border, where apparently three gay men have adopted a little girl. And then on this side of the border, another weird story. This is in, of all places, Nashville. And there's a Grammy-winning Nashville songwriter, a gay dude who's married to another gay dude. Wait, is that an accident? Well, you kind of have to be. I mean, if you're a gay, okay, well, I don't want to, is it an oxymoron? No, I don't want to overstate the issue, but anyway, two guys, all right, and they're married. So therefore, they would be gay if they're married. And they've got children that they purchased. And I guess they purchased a brand new baby. And this baby is out there crying. They're posting these videos of the baby. Have you seen this? Dylan, this is insane. It's all over the place.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it.
And the poor child is crying, and they're like taunting the baby. That's what gets me. They're taunting the baby. Do you want your mommy? And they're like, yes, I want my mommy. I mean, because the baby, you know, the baby's hungry, and the baby's needy. And then the baby's looking at that dude and is like, not getting any milk out of that.
It's true.
At least not any that I want.
It's true. Not natural.
No, the baby knows what's going down. And so the guy's like, oh, my baby's homophobic. And so they're mocking the child. So then, hold on, what's this guy's name? Shane McAnally. No, that's not right. I'm sorry. How do you pronounce that? McAnally.
You have to add a to it, though. It's very
ugh-y. Shane McAnally. No, it's spelled anally, though. McAnally, but it's McAnally, I guess. McAnally.
That's just unfortunate.
That's man. An unfortunate
very
name.
Very unfortunate.
Anyway, Mr. McAnally. I can't do it. Anyway, this guy. It goes from bad to worse because they're defending all of this. People are so disgusted by this. And they're like, okay, first of all, this is so incredibly inappropriate. Why are you putting your baby up there? Why are you mocking and taunting your child? Why are you doing this? And so then they've got two other children. I guess they're maybe first, second graders. So they're younger kids. And there's a new video that surfaced. And Dylan, I don't know if you've seen this one. But they literally ask, the two dads are there, and it's all on video, and they're asking, somebody off camera is asking the children, which of your dad is like, you know, which of your dad eats Cheerios, or which of your dads does this? And then they ask, which of your dads is hornier?
I can't.
I've got a link to it over on my Twitter page. I'm just astounded, ladies and gentlemen, because why? Why would you do this? Who out there, just set aside the fact that you've got, the, you know, of the whole gay dude, that just set that aside for a moment. Who in their right mind would haul small children before a camera and on national, you know, the national social media platforms, put your kids out there and ask them, okay, who's got the larger sex drive? Daddy A or Daddy B? Are you guys okay with this? This is insane. Meanwhile, you have some states where born-again evangelical Christians are not even allowed to adopt at all because of their Christian beliefs. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just telling you right here and right now, we've got debauchery in this country, and this is Sodom and Gomorrah territory. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. you do have to wonder what it's going to look like to put these children in a hyper-sexualized environment and what kind of an impact that is going to have mentally on these kids. That's just unacceptable. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Here's something most people don't know. When Warren Buffett was just 13 years old, he didn't put his money into a savings account. While other kids were earning next to nothing at local banks, Buffett put $114 into a little-known investment. Today, that $114 would be worth over $15 million. And it wasn't a risky trade. It wasn't even insider knowledge. It was an account that's been around since 1888. And over the last 25 years, it's averaged 29% a year. That's what happens when your money is allowed to compound. Compare that to today's savings accounts, paying less than 0.5%. While inflation quietly eats away at your buying power. Buffett understood early, banks are great businesses, just not for savers. If you'd like to see what some investors call the 29% account, go now to secretaccount29.com. That's secretaccount, the numbers, 29.com. Secretaccount29.com. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and we're just so honored to have so many of you watching us on YouTube, also our Rumble channel, Facebook Live, and, of course, listening to us on radio stations across the nation. There is a very odd story happening in Minnesota, and our next guest, she broke the story, just a terrific journalist. She's a senior reporter at Alpha News. Liz Collin is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Liz, so good to have you with us. And wow, great job on this bizarre story we're about to talk about.
Thanks for having me on, Todd. Appreciate it. Good to see you.
All right. So we've been hearing across the country, we've been hearing drips and drabs of schools that are accommodating Islamic students. But you've discovered something in a Minneapolis suburb that I think is probably one of the craziest stories of the year. Tell us about it. What happened?
Yeah, so this is a story that came our way over at Alpha News. We get a lot of great tips because we have the courage to report them, unlike the mainstream media, especially here in Minnesota. This was information from the actual blueprint for a school remodel in the Osseo School District. This is the northwest suburbs of Minneapolis, and also another project at another high school in the Osseo School District. Part of the blueprints included a clearly marked prayer room that was going to be put in this high school, and in the other high school, foot washing stations that were being put in the locker room areas there. So we went about this story just as we would any other, reaching out to the school district to see if, in fact, this was the case. And they came back to us with a statement basically saying that this prayer room could be used as anything else, trying to sort of downplay the fact that the words were right there on the blueprint. And then saying that the foot washing station kind of was more of a lower sink, if you will, but that the plans were included in updated plans, they said, after hearing from user groups on student needs. But we do know, Todd, that they do have a high population, Muslim population in that school district. And we've reported many things attached to that district over the years over at Alpha News.
It's really unbelievable, and I don't know much about the religious makeup of Minnesota. Here in the southern states where we broadcast our show from, we have foot washing Baptists. I don't know if you have very many foot washing Lutherans in your neck of the woods. It sounds to me like this is actually meant for a specific religion, and it is not Christianity.
Yeah, that was part of our tip. Kind of the words were, this is undoubtedly for Muslim students only. I cannot understand how this can be happening in this era of no religion in schools. But you can clearly see the district playing a little bit of defense now. They've told other media outlets that the prayer room was not labeled correctly. It was mislabeled in the plans, trying to backtrack in a way. And also saying that these foot washing stations are more lower sinks than anything else. So, but again, I guess the question is, Todd, then why label them the way that they were labeled in these blueprints for the school project?
Liz, it's a great point. And again, this is a problem I think that many other school districts are going to have to deal with. I know in Nashville, for example, John Overton High School, we talked about this story last week on the radio show, where they just went overboard for Ramadan and decorating the school, providing prayer rugs. It does make you wonder, you know, are they accommodating Christian kids the same way? And I think the answer to that is no, they are not.
Right. And as I said, that we've been reporting on this specific district, again, it is very close to Minneapolis. And we see many of these ideologies take shape just right outside the city. But just another story that comes to mind involving the Osseo School District, they have this mandatory LGBTQIA plus type training, if I'm getting those all in there correctly, for 7th and 8th graders that they've now just recently allowed students to opt out of over the last couple of years. And every year we see more and more students opt out of this ideology. And that's why I, you know, applaud these people always for coming forward and sending us their tips, because I just know that they would not see the light of day. The district was not going to advertise these plans. And I do think there's a lot of pushback we're seeing from parents after this post went viral just yesterday.
And Liz, I also have to imagine that you guys need to get a lot of credit here, because without you guys, boots on the ground reporting these kinds of stories, they would not get covered by the local media, the legacy media.
Well, it's actually interesting, Todd. The media instead spends their time trying to say that, you know, these stories aren't true, or trying to attack us as if our facts are not correct. Basically accepting the fact that, you know what, the school district just made a mistake and this room was mislabeled. There's nothing to see here when we know there's a lot more to this story.
Wow. All right, Liz, great reporting there. And we want you to keep us updated. Any other crazy stories, we'd love to get you back on the show.
Absolutely, Todd. Appreciate it. Encourage everybody to follow Alpha News on X, and I'm Liz Collin at X as well. Never a dull moment in Minnesota news, Todd.
Boy, you're not kidding, Liz. You're sort of ground zero for all the crazy chaos these days. Liz, great job. Great reporting again, and congratulations on that scoop. Folks, again, check out Liz Collin at Liz Collin News on Facebook and Instagram, and you can follow her on X as well. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Bob in Ocala, Florida, listening to us on WOCA. Bob, what's on your mind today?
I think we should have Liz work on a couple problems that I've got here. There's a congresswoman I heard reported on the radio today. There's a congresswoman that used FEMA money, and I think it was, they talked about $1 million of FEMA money to fund her campaign for Congress. And then we've got two congressmen that are accused of sexual harassment with employees, which is against the law, too. For us,
so who are we talking about? Who are we talking about here, Bob?
I don't remember the congresswoman's name, and the two congressmen. And I can't tell you their names either.
Let me try to fill in some blanks here. But I think one of the things here is involving Corey Mills, who is facing a possible expulsion vote. And, you know, for me, it's a black and white issue. It's not about, you know, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Libertarians. That has nothing to do with it. This is about right or wrong, right? So if you are out there committing crimes, if you are out there taking advantage of your position, then look, you deserve what's coming to you. I mean, that's it for me. Bob, thank you for the call. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Folks, I want to remind you to be sure to watch Newsmax tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern. That's Newsmax, the Todd Stern Show, and this segment brought to you by Newsmax. That's right. 70 million Americans are collecting Social Security benefits today. Millions more are going to join, and a new study finds that 70% of Americans are not getting the full benefits they deserve. But Social Security expert Michael Allen says there are 5 key strategies to increase your benefits by, get this, as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. And it's in a free special report courtesy of our friends at Newsmax. I want you to give them a call right now 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. And we're going to text it to you right away, along with the President's Act cutting your Social Security taxes. So call now, 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. All right, coming up, we're going to be checking in with two good, great people in the state of Virginia. Kelly Sadler from the Washington Times. Also, Josh Jones, our great Republican strategist, will be with us as well. And before we go to the top of the hour news break, I just wanted to have a brief, a moment of personal privilege, if you will, as we are getting very, very close to the launch of my brand new book. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. You can get yourself a copy. You can pre-order right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, wherever you get your books. But we need your help in pre-ordering. We want to make sure we boost those numbers ahead of launch day. The last book, they ran out of books on the first day. So we're making sure that there are plenty of books in bookstores across the country, and you can help us out by doing those pre-orders. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour two of The Big Show coming up next.
Here's something most people don't know. When Warren Buffett was just 13 years old, he didn't put his money into a savings account. While other kids were earning next to nothing at local banks, Buffett put $114 into a little-known investment. Today, that $114 would be worth over $15 million. And it wasn't a risky trade, it wasn't even insider knowledge. It was an account that's been around since 1888, and over the last 25 years, it's averaged 29% a year. That's what happens when your money is allowed to compound. Compare that to today's savings accounts, paying less than 0.5%. While inflation quietly eats away at your buying power. Buffett understood early, banks are great businesses, just not for savers. If you'd like to see what some investors call the 29% account, go now to secretaccount29.com. That's secretaccount29.com. Secretaccount29.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What a great honor to have you with us today. By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, we have a jam-packed show for you. Coming up a little bit later on, Josh Jones, our great Republican strategist, will be joining us from Washington to talk about the very latest on what's happening in Virginia. We understand that there is very heavy voter turnout, so we have a number of stations around the Commonwealth that carry this radio program. You need to go and you need to vote no today when you go to the polls. But again, heavy turnout in the rural parts of the state, that would tell me that things are looking very good right now for the Republicans and their get out the vote effort. All right. One of the craziest stories I saw in all of this came from our good friend, Kelly Sadler. You read her work all the time. You see her on Newsmax. She is the commentary editor for the Washington Times and a Newsmax TV host, so you know she's good people. Kelly, good to have you on the show today. Hope you're doing well.
Todd, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
No, I know we're on the clock here because you have a show to get ready for, so we really appreciate you hopping on the show. What a crazy story. About your, you tell me that you have 14-year-old twin boys, and I want you to tell us what happened at their local school.
Well, on Friday, I picked them up from school, and they both asked me, "Hey, Mom, are you voting yes for the Virginia redistrict?" And I just looked at them, and I'm like, "No, I'm not." And I'm like, "Why are you asking me that question?" They're like, "Well, civics class was all about the election coming up on Tuesday and how you should vote yes." And I'm like, well, why should I vote yes? Oh, well, because we need free and fair elections and we need to stop Donald Trump. And these are the talking points that the Democrats are using. They were shown the Obama ad. I mean, if you turn YouTube on in the state of Virginia, you're going to get Barack Obama campaign ads for free and fair elections. Vote yes in the state of Virginia. And I was appalled. I mean, the boys know that I'm a conservative. They know I'm a conservative pundit. They know I was a no. And so then I asked them, I was like, hey, boys, did you counter this at all? But I mean, they're 14-year-old boys. They go along to get along. They don't like the classroom in the first place. My one son was just like, Ma, I'm like, of course not. That being in that class is like being a Jew in Nazi Germany. I just put my head down and I try. Wow. I hope I hide. I hope they don't say anything about me. And then my other boy, who's in another class, they're not in the same civics class and is taught by two different teachers. He had the same lesson taught by his teacher. And he has a friend there who watches the Newsmax show, who reads my commentary. And the one friend asked Lucas, well, Mom, Lucas, what would your mom think of this? And I'm not proud to say this, but Lucas goes, I don't know. My mom died 2 years ago. And I'm like, Lucas, what did you say? You killed me in the classroom. He's like, Mom, it's not going to do me any favors for my teachers to know that you're a conservative and what you think. If anything, I'm going to get flunked or failed in that class. So I felt like I had to write about this because this is the sort of indoctrination that our kids are getting when they attend public schools on a daily basis.
No, I think you're right. I think your kids are right. I mean, you know, imagine being in a classroom like that and your teacher has your career, your future in their hands. And I know a lot of college kids have to go through this. And a lot of times they just feel like the easier way is to just not say anything and try to sneak through without being, you know, identified as a conservative. And I think that's a really sad thing.
Yeah, no, the self-censorship is very real. And I've spoken to other parents who've had the same experience in the classroom that the civics teachers said the same thing going into this election today. And there's a strong push. And you had Randy Weingarten today on X posting that, you know, Virginia needs to vote yes on this referendum. So they're very politically invested in the outcome of this race, which ironically will not affect any Virginians, is all about a national representation in the House of Representatives. If anything, the rural vote in this state is going to be disenfranchised.
You know, Kelly, here's what gets me, and it's a great column you wrote, and folks, I'd encourage you to go and check it out over at the Washington Times. This idea that these schools, taxpayer-funded schools, are literally turning, and they're weaponizing kids, and they're trying to get the kids to, you know, to try to, I don't know, coerce their parents into voting the way the teachers that want them to vote.
No, absolutely. And I saw this with the ICE walkouts and the ICE protests. I didn't say anything, but my boys did come to me and they were like, you know, the school is organizing a walkout. I'm like, well, that's just skipping class. And they're like, yeah, we're going to go. We don't like being in class. We just want to let you know we're going to go. But it was arranged by the civics teachers, and I never got a memo that the boys weren't in school, that they participated in this from the school. It very much is they're going after our youth. And as a parent who has, I have to send my kids to public school. Unfortunately, I don't have the funds. I've got another boy who is in private school, but it ends at sixth grade. So middle school was the first time the twins saw all of this through a fresh lens. But it's very important for parents, if you can't afford an alternative of the public school system, to have these discussions with your children, to ask them what they are learning, to teach them the conservative principles, because that's what I've been doing with my boys, and they felt like they needed to share this with me.
Well, I'm glad they did, and those are great points. And I would just throw in, even if your kids go to a private school, you know, I think it's important to have those conversations. I think the entire system is corrupted by these woke academic communities.
Well, you see it. You see it when it comes to the state of Israel. You see it with the pro-Palestinian flags. When my boys first went into school for orientation, all of the rainbow flags that were hanging in the classroom, the lack of the American flag, was shocking to them. But I'm like, this is the real world. You're going to have to learn to deal with it. You're going to have to learn to debate on your principles and engage. Unlike the left, I feel like the right is very accepting. We want to have debate. We want to have dialogue. We're open to, you know, different opinions. But these teachers are not. The left is not. You either agree with them, and if you disagree with them, you're in the wrong. And then they're in the powerful position, unfortunately, with these students, not to give them recommendations, to give them failing grades, to you know, flag them on you know, different errors or whatnot.
Kelly Sadler is the commentary editor for The Washington Times and a host at Newsmax TV. Kelly, you mentioned a lot of those Obama ads. We've heard numbers up to $90 million in dark money just pouring into the Commonwealth. Are you hearing the same number of Republican ads?
No. No, the Republicans here are non-existent. Listen, I went to the polling place this morning, and there was just a stand that said vote yes, and a guy giving out flyers saying, if you're confused, this is how you should vote. I'm like, I'm not confused. This is the worst gerrymander in the country. If this goes through, I'm a voting no. But there was no Republican presence there. There was no alternative there. I'm quite worried that Republicans did not invest the time or effort in combating this gerrymander, though I am encouraged by your earlier report that we're seeing strong turnout in rural areas, because really they are the ones that are going to be so misrepresented or underrepresented in Virginia, which is a purple state.
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right about that. All right, Kelly, we're going to let you get going. I know you've got to get ready for your show, and we really do appreciate you joining us here on the radio today.
Thank you so much, Todd. I appreciate you having me on and letting me share the story.
All right. The great Kelly Sadler, everybody, got to go read her work over at the Washington Times. It is a great, great column, and it'll help you understand what's going on in our taxpayer-funded schools. And I suspect this is not just happening in Fairfax County. I suspect it's happening in many schools across the Commonwealth of Virginia. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We've got folks wanting to weigh in. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Oh, my goodness. You know what we ought to do, Dylan? We should do this, but we're not going to do it because, you know, people always ask, what do you guys do during the commercial breaks? And I don't think we should let people know that.
No, but you can just generally say we chit-chat.
What happens in the break stays in the break.
It's true.
Is that appropriate?
Fair. Yeah.
Because normally I have to yell at you guys about something, right? So I try to sneak in there and...
Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad.
It is what it is.
Yes.
Let's go to the phones here. 901-260-5926. We'll go to Warren, Ohio. Pastor Harold is on the line. Hi, Pastor Harold. What can I do for you?
Yes, sir. You're talking about Islam and everything. I didn't know if you knew that back around 2024, the state of Minnesota got a new Minnesota state flag with the 8-pointed Muslim white star on there, and they're trying to tell the simple-minded that this represents the North Star, which anybody knows is crazy. And so that shows you, even clear back in 2024, the direction the state of Minnesota was going toward that, you know, globalist Islamic Antichrist, preparing for the Antichrist tribulation to come.
You know, Pastor, I think we covered that story quite a bit. What I find interesting is how closely it resembles the Somali flag.
Yes, it does. I think they call it Aberjarjan or something like that, identical to it.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're right. Let me ask you, Pastor, because you mentioned, you know, the end times, and when you look at where we are in the country right now, and really in the world, where so many people are turning against the nation of Israel, you do wonder, and with all the things happening, you know, these, I don't know, they said there are going to be things in the sky, signs and wonders, as they would say, and I'm not sure if all these flying orbs and whatever those things are would be, you know, representative of the signs and wonders, but I'm wondering, do you think we could be living in the end of days? You're a pastor, so I just wanted to pick your brain.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. First of all, the rapture couldn't happen until 1948, once Israel returned to her homeland. And now that Israel's back in her homeland, Matthew 27 says that right before Jesus Christ comes in the rapture, every nation of the world is going to hate Israel. The devil's just going to get everybody turned against Israel. And that's never happened as far as every nation in the world until just recently. And when this country got corrupted by, you know, simple-minded people going after Islam and turning their back on America. And so we're ready for it. You know, this country turned its back, started turning its back on God clear back when they kicked the Bible and the Ten Commandments out of school. And you know, first they turned their back on God, and then, you know, the devil's crowd started taking over. And right now we're ready for the rapture of the church to take place, and then the Antichrist is going to come up out of the United Nations. And, you know, we're ready for it. There's no doubt about it. And then there's going to be a seven-year tribulation period. And after that seven-year tribulation period, you're going to have Jesus Christ coming back in power and glory. So there's a two-step thing on Jesus coming back. The rapture of the church, where he comes like a thief in the night and grabs the Christians out of here. And then 7 years later, when he comes back, every eye will see him. You know, his enemies will tremble and fall down and want the mountains to fall on them to hide them. And that's when he's going to come back, and you're going to have the judgment take place.
You know, Pastor, I've always wondered how, and I was always fascinated when the pastor would preach from the book of Revelation, you know, and especially as a little kid, you know, it's hard not to have the living daylight scared out of you. But, you know, as you get older, you know, it's really interesting to watch all the puzzle pieces come together. And I, you know, no man knows the time or the hour, but I think we do know there are going to be signs, right? There are going to be signs.
There's going to be signs. And, you know, the book of Revelation really isn't that hard. I think in chapters 2 and 3, the church is mentioned about 15 times. And then Revelation 4:1, God says, come up hither. And that's a picture of the rapture when God grabs all the born-again Christians and takes us home immediately. And then from Revelation 4 to Revelation 19, you don't have the church mentioned one time about being here on earth. It's up in heaven. And up in heaven, we're going through the Bema Seat Judgment, which is just for Christians, where we get rewards or lose rewards based on our lives as Christians here, and then the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And then after that's over, Revelation 19, the church comes back to earth with Jesus Christ and wipes out the Antichrist and the false prophet as they march on Israel to destroy Jerusalem and everything, and they're going to have probably 200 million UN troops with them to get wiped out. That's going to be the Valley of Armageddon and everything, the Battle of Armageddon.
Wow.
And it says the blood is going to
fall. We don't have time for a full 20-minute sermon, Pastor, but I think we got the gist of it. You gave us a nice nugget there. I don't know. It's all very fascinating to me, and you sort of see how, you know, again, I never in a million years would have thought that all of the nations of the world would turn against Israel, Pastor. I always thought the United States would always be a friend to Israel. And a lot of people said, well, you know, the United States isn't an end times prophecy, so maybe we're not here. Maybe that's what it meant. But it looks like even we're going to be turning against Israel if you look at the vast numbers of young people in this country who just simply bought into the lies they were taught.
You're exactly right. We're going to go from God's blessing to God's wrath, all based on how we treat Israel.
Wow. All right, Pastor, thank you for that call. Thanks for, and by the way, thanks for letting me probe your pastoral mind there. Let's go to Gary in Daytona Beach, Florida, WOCA, our great affiliate there. Hi, Gary. What's going on?
Hey, tough call to follow. That was but one of your previous callers, it was Sheila McCormick, the congresswoman in South Florida that just had her federal trial moved up 18 months. That way she's hoping she doesn't get expelled from Congress. But the main reason, when you were speaking to Kelly about Virginia, two of the ads, one by Obama, is so misleading because it talks about the redistricting being temporary, which I thought was insane when they try to speak about it being a temporary solution. And that's an outright lie.
You know what really struck me about that whole interview? I asked her about the ads because she said she's seen Obama every other commercial. And the fact that there were no Republican commercials, that the Republicans are just AWOL. And, I mean, even on the national level, you know, this radio show, we're one of the few radio shows that recognizes how crucial this vote is today. And it's just really disappointing, Gary, that the Republicans have dropped the ball here.
You're right. I appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you, Gary, and enjoy the beautiful day down there in Florida. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So we're going to be taking your calls. Also, we're talking to Josh Jones, Republican strategist. A couple of other big stories we'll be following as well, and we're going to get to those in just a little while. By the way, this segment of the program brought to you by our friends at MyPillow. That's right. Mike Lindell wants to thank all of you fine folks for your great support of MyPillow, and they've got a mega sale now underway. Classic MyPillows, $49.98, now marked down to $14.98. All sorts of great discounts. All you have to do to unlock the discounts, use my promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com. That's MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS. Or you can call them 1-800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS and get this. Your entire order ships absolutely free. Well, thank you for that, Mike Lindell. We'll be right back, everybody. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Before we get to politics, I want to bring in Josh Jones, our Republican strategist. We have the best Republican strategist in the freaking country, ladies and gentlemen. And Josh, always good to have you with us. All right, let's try to reconnect with Josh there, and we'll get him back on the line. Guys, let me know when we can do that. There is an interesting report out there. This is from the New York Post. Restaurants are now banning cell phones during meals. Dylan, I love this idea. I can't tell you how many times I go into, the moon dance. And this doesn't happen at Central Barbecue because people's hands, are covered in barbecue sauce. So it's kind of hard to doom scroll.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
But when you use a fork and a knife. You worry about the phones.
So you're sitting there, and I've seen date night over at the Moon Dance, and I'm getting my meal, and I'm enjoying my delicious meal, and I like to watch people. I'm a people watcher.
Yes.
And I see the young people coming in, and the guys have the beautiful girls, and they're dressed to the nines, and she's got her hair done and the makeup, and all they're doing is staring at their phones.
Terrible.
This makes no sense.
Our generation is doomed.
All right, we've got Josh Jones joining us. I want to bring Josh into this conversation. Josh, hope you're doing well.
I'm good, Todd. How are you?
Good, good, good. So anyway, I'm wondering about yourself. When you go into a restaurant, do you scroll? Do you put away your phone? What do you do?
I typically put away my phone. I mean, I guess it depends on the context, but I'm typically chit-chatting with whoever I'm with.
All right, well, that's good. So even Chick-fil-A, they actually tried this where if you put away your phone, they give you free ice cream, which I think is a nice thing. Everybody wants free ice cream. But anyway, it's becoming a trend. I'm reading here from the New York Post. It's becoming a trend that's common at high-end spots like listening bars, supper clubs, and lounges, and restaurants that offer tasting menus. And so they're saying that there's this anti-phone sentiment where people are just, they're tired of it. They're tired of their phones and being attached to their phones, and they're just putting them away. I'm wondering here, guys, and Dylan, because you and Josh are about the same age, are you guys, is your generation sort of losing interest in being connected to the phone 24/7?
I think there is something to say about that. I think there's a trend now where people are going back to more just finding connection, because through several dating apps and other things like that, it's hard to make a real connection with someone because you never actually go out and see someone in person. So I think there's something there that people are now seeing. Just put away your phone during a date, leave it in the car. You'll actually talk to them and get to know them instead of just surface level things.
I like that. Josh, what say you?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And I don't remember the name. There's a couple bars in D.C., where they have that kind of policy you talked about, where essentially they'll either like have a little locker that for you to put your phone in that only you have access to, and you put it in when you go in, you get it on your way out, to like encourage people to actually talk to each other and like socialize. Cause like to Dylan's point, like all my like closest friends and strongest connections are people that like I interact with regularly in person, not people that like I necessarily, you know, only have some kind of online presence with.
So, since I have both of you here together, I want to ask you both, I'm putting you both on the spot here with this question, and I'm not asking on behalf of your moms, but I am asking on behalf of your moms, because you guys are attached, you are tethered to these little devices, and I'm just curious, since you are attached, why don't you answer the text messages?
That's a good question.
What's going on?
We were literally just having this discussion in my office the other day. I don't know. I honestly don't know what it is. I think it's a combination of, number one, being able to like dedicate the time to the conversation, if that makes sense. So like if like in the middle of a meeting or if I'm doing something, I feel like I need to like set aside time that evening when I know I'm not going to be busy, and then send a response. So that way I can like go back and forth. But
it honestly takes a second to answer yes or no, Josh Jones. Yes or no. Answer your mother's text messages, for crying out loud.
Todd, sometimes you put mean punctuation on your text. You know, sometimes you'll leave it with a period or a dot, dot, dot. And I can't stand the dot, dot, dots because that means you're mad at me.
No.
And my mom does the same thing, by the way. And I told her about this. I said, Mom, you're putting dot, dot, dots there. And you're not mad at me, but I feel like you are.
No, it means the conversation continues, and I'm tired of writing, so I'm like, dot, dot, dot.
No, it means something else for us.
And guess what? A period means it's the end of the sentence. It's the end of the thought.
That means you're mad.
No, that means you're triggered. You're triggered by punctuation.
Can you add a few emojis to your text, Todd? That might make me text you back.
I don't even know how to make the emojis work. That's the problem. I did one that I thought was chocolate pudding for like a good 3 months until I found out it was not.
Yeah, no.
That is not a chocolate pudding emoji.
It's not, yeah.
By the way, who puts that kind of an emoji in the emojis?
Fair question.
It's fun.
I just figured out what LOL means I think last year.
Now that is sad. Mm-hmm. That's a sad one.
I thought it meant lots of love.
Yeah.
But it's not. Anyway. Josh Jones, we're not even here to talk about this, so we're kind of like double dipping here, but thank you for clearing that up. Actually, I don't think you cleared it up because
I think I gave a good politician answer on that one.
A terrible answer. All right. Josh, let's talk about what's happening in Virginia. And we're hearing reports of heavy turnout in the rural parts of the state. I'm curious, what are you hearing?
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of the same that you're talking about. Of you have high turnout in rural areas, particularly in these congressional districts that are currently red, that would also become blue under this new redistricting. So it's a reason to be optimistic. But the message to any listeners, in Virginia, or if you don't live in Virginia but you know people that live in Virginia, assuming they're on the same side as us, give them a call, tell them to go vote today, and then have them take 10 of their friends to go vote, because that's the only way we're going to stop this.
You know, I thought it was interesting. We had Kelly Sadler on the line. She works for Newsmax. She's a columnist. She's got boys in the Fairfax County school system. And she said the teachers are basically telling the kids, go home, tell your parents to vote yes. So we got the schools that have been weaponized. And I'm wondering if when you look at what's happening, is that going to be enough? Have the Republicans done enough to get this across the finish line?
I mean, that's the question. The reality is, if you look at it from just a data standpoint, we've been outspent. Republicans have been outspent big time. Democrats have spent $50 million plus on this referendum in Virginia. And on top of that, you've had Democrat bigwigs coming to town, both virtually and in person. We have Obama cutting ads. Gavin Newsom was here recently. Elizabeth Warren is getting involved, and other national figures. So in terms of our ground campaign, or at least engaging with their base, Democrats have done a better job. Is that they're going to carry them across the finish line? Who knows? We'll see. Republicans have also, put up a fight and an effort. But Democrats had their national apparatus get involved to a level that Republicans frankly didn't. And so we'll see how that plays out.
You know, that it's interesting you said that, because Sadler was telling us that every other ad is an Obama ad. She hasn't seen any Republican ads at all. And she said it's almost as if the Republicans have just dropped the ball here. Is that how you would see this? Have the national Republicans just missed an opportunity?
I agree. I fully agree. I think the National Republicans have dropped the ball here, because if you look at the fundraising numbers too for the NRCC and a lot of other of the committees and national organizations, including President Trump's super PAC, if you combine all of their money, essentially, Republicans essentially have on hand, nationally speaking, $900 million right now, whereas Democrats have roughly $300 million on hand right now. So, I'm a little, it's hard for me to understand why the National Republican apparatus didn't get more involved when four seats are at stake for the House of Representatives. Mind you, the last three majorities in the House of Representatives have been decided by five seats or less. So, I mean, this is could determine the control of the House. And if Democrats win, you're just going to see impeachment and stalling for the next 2 years. So it is most definitely disappointing that National Republicans didn't get involved the way they should have.
It's just incredibly disturbing. And you're right. It is so frustrating. There are so many people out there giving money to the Republicans, and they don't know what that money is being used for. But I you know, we would love to hear from the RNC. It's almost as if they don't even exist, right? I mean, back when you had Ronna Romney McDaniel, at least they were in the news cycle, and you know, at least they were doing something.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, the National Republicans have, like I said before, largely taken a back seat. Would that determine the outcome of this election? Who knows? I guess we'll find out later tonight. But all that to say, and that's a little discouraging news, at least on that front, but all that to say, if you are a Republican in Virginia, or not even if you're a Republican, but as long as you want to stop gerrymandering in Virginia, you have to go out and vote no today.
So Josh, when you're looking at the map there in Virginia, if you have massive turnout in the rural part of the state, which is a large part of the state, is that possible? Will that be enough, you think, to overtake all the Democrats in right and around Washington, D.C.?
You have two paths to victory here for the Republicans on the vote no side of the aisle. Path one is you have really high turnout in rural areas, and you have really low turnout in your urban areas, that being Nova, Richmond, and Norfolk. If that happens, there's a path to victory for Republicans later tonight. The other opportunity is you see high turnout across the board, both in the rural and the urban parts of the state. But Republicans don't have to win Northern Virginia. They just have to lose by less. If Republicans can get 40%, roughly speaking, of the vote in Northern Virginia and still have that high turnout in Southwest Virginia and other parts of rural Virginia, then there's a path to victory, because that's exactly what Governor Youngkin did back in 2021, and that's how he won. So that's really the two paths here is hope Democrats have low turnout, Republicans have high turnout, or if there's high turnout across the board, because I think Republicans are going to have high turnout, particularly today, compared to early voting, then we just have to lose by less, essentially, in Northern Virginia.
All right, good stuff. Well, we're going to have you on Newsmax later tonight to help break it all down, and we're going to get you back on the show tomorrow. We'll kind of do a debrief on whatever is going to happen tonight. Josh, you've done a great job, and we sure do appreciate your great analysis.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate it. If you're in Virginia, go vote no.
And go text your mom, Josh. Go text your mom. All right. All right. Josh Jones, everybody. By the way, Dylan, our good friend Vicky Gandy, one of the great realtors in Tennessee, says, chocolate pudding. I'm trying to enter my listing on the MLS, and I heard you say that twice, and all of a sudden my brain caught up with what you were talking about. I literally laughed out loud, LOL. Oh.
But now you know what that means.
So now I know what it means.
You can respond properly.
So the more you know, as they say. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern's radio show. You know, this is interesting. There was a Linda McMahon, who's the education secretary. And may I just point out that the education department is still intact, fully intact in Washington, D.C. and has not been dismantled. And until that happens, we're never going to be able to solve the big problems in our nation. So I really do hope between now and 2028, President Trump will be able to dismantle the Department of Education. But anyway, Linda McMahon is Making an interesting point here about the lack of patriotism among some of our teachers and administrators. Take a listen to Cut 4.
I'll tell you the saddest thing that happened to me relative to any of these tours was at one school that I went to, and the principal told me, he said, wow, he said, I'm really glad you had the words, you know, to the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, up on the boards, because I don't think the kids in our school know what they are. And they can opt out of saying the Pledge of Allegiance. And so the school just opted out. And they didn't have to say it anymore. I thought, what a comment that is. And this same principal, when he got up to announce for everyone to stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance, he says, now understand, you're not pledging allegiance to any particular flag, but it's to a spirit. So you can pledge this allegiance to whatever flag you think is appropriate for you. And I'm going, wow, how can we really drive home patriotism and love of country and respect for our flag if we actually have teachers and principals who are not encouraging the very basics of what is patriotic in our country?
You know, it's really a great question. And I think a great example of that is what just happened in Fairfax County, where the teachers are telling the children, tell your parents to go and vote yes. That is really turning your classroom into a propaganda center for far-left policies. And there was a time in this country when when I was growing up, I graduated in the mid-1980s. I cannot tell you a single political affiliation of any of my teachers. And I'm sure there were a good many Democrats that taught school at East St. John the Baptist High School. I'm fairly certain of that, but I never knew that because the teachers kept all of that stuff out of the classroom. Their job was to teach algebra. Their job was to teach biology and show us how to dissect a crawfish. Their job was to teach us driver's education. That was the role of education back at least in the 1980s. But between the 1980s and where we are today, it's like a whole different world. It's like we're on, I don't know, Venus or something, or Pluto. So that is a big problem. And I think she's onto something here, that schools are not about educating kids anymore. It's about really creating this weird, unnatural universe where the children are being confused about their pronouns, and they're being taught these ideas about sex and gender that really warp a child's young mind. I mean, their brains are not equipped to deal with a lot of the issues that are being brought into the classroom. And then on top of that, you've got teachers that are literally turning these kids against President Trump and against the America First movement. There are teachers that are teaching their kids to hate America. And we've got to do something about that. We have to do something about that. I want to play this audio real quick. This is a grandma thrown out of a public meeting. She was talking to the school board. I want you to take a listen to Cut 5.
Purchase new books. You need to get rid of the 500 filthy books that you have. I'm going to read one. If there's children in the audience, they need to leave.
Ma'am, point of order, this is a public hearing.
I understand that.
You will not be allowed to read things that are not appropriate in public.
Appropriate? Then why are they in your schools?
Ma'am,
this book,
missing your time,
is in DeBakey, Fur, and Heights High School. His was enormous.
Absolutely not, ma'am. You are now out of order. This is your first warning. One more word and you will be removed.
She wrapped her hand around his...
Absolutely not.
Tongue sliding
you,
into the...
Officer, please...
If you don't like it, remove it so the children don't have access to it.
Grandma talked dirty.
You're being removed. Thank you very much.
So they literally brought in cops and hauled off the sweet, innocent little grandma. And what was her crime? Her crime was reading from a book that was in the library. Seems to me if you got a problem with that kind of language, then you got to get rid of that book. Jeez, Lou, poor grandma. I wonder if she had to look up some of those words. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number. Hour three of the Big Show coming up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Even CNN, the most profane name in news, has now admitted how crazy this Virginia gerrymandering story has become. It's somewhat hilarious, and it would be somewhat humorous if it was not so serious. And it is a very serious matter for the entire country, the entire nation, the America First movement, and the president's own agenda. Everything is at stake here in the Commonwealth based on what voters decide, and we will know that later tonight. Welcome, everybody. Hour three of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We've been sort of going wall to wall with this story today because it is so vitally important. And I want to bring into the conversation Joe Thomas, who is the co-owner of Thomas Media and WTON Radio, one of our other great affiliates in the Commonwealth. Joe, good to have you with us today. Hope you're doing well, sir.
We are doing great, Todd. Thank you very much for having us, and I appreciate the opportunity to share with people exactly what is going on here in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Joe, we heard earlier from Josh Jones, our Republican strategist, as well as Kelly Sadler, who's a Newsmax host, and she lives in Virginia, and both of them were saying that the National Republicans have really dropped the ball here by not, you know, sending in financial resources, advertising, and marketing. Is that how you see things?
Well, they got way behind. And Eric Holder, even at the onset of this, before it even became a thing, gave $150,000 to the Speaker of the Virginia House of Delegates, Don Scott, and then another $150,000 to the Democratic Party of Virginia. And then they called a special session, and then they decided to do this referendum. So you do the math on that. And then right during the middle of the Olympic Games, they dropped, I think, $20 million in advertising buys, and with very deceptively named websites and groups, which sounded very much like conservative groups that had been working in the world of fair elections for some time. So they've been very, very disingenuous, very, very deceptive in their messaging, Todd, especially in the use of the word fairness. They wrote fairness into the law itself, and I still don't know how you right. adjudicate fairness. How do you decide fairness as a matter of law?
You know, it's a great question. And again, that's one of the reasons why, and I think Glenn Youngkin really appreciate him stepping up and saying, hey, look, vote yep. no. It doesn't matter what, don't even bother to read it. Just vote no. That's what you do going into the ballot box.
Well, you know, and Governor Youngkin stepped in the last couple of weeks and really put a lot of effort. And if there is any money in the coffer of the Vote No campaigns, it really has come through Governor Youngkin's effort and his Spirit of Virginia PAC. But understand what would happen here is that you would have four seats that would flip completely to Democrat. And then that's for 6 years. They're going to hold on to those seats as a matter of personal choice. Now, I believe there's some peril in there, but I don't want to get lost in the weeds as people are turning out to vote. They're telling me that right now we are just slightly behind the early vote count from the gubernatorial race of last year. We should have about 1.4 million votes cast. We're only going to have about 35 million or 3.5 million total. If we're at 45 or 50% of all the votes that are going to be cast have already been cast in this election. And that's stunning. It could actually be over 50% of the votes came in early for this election. And that's concerning because those always seem to track for the Democrats, or in this case, the Vote Yes Party.
Joe, I'm wondering here what this will look like. We understand that most of the congressional districts will actually be representing, I think, really the area around Washington, D.C. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Fairfax County alone will be the home to five distinct congressional districts. So what they've done, Todd, is they found all the bluest areas of Virginia, which is around Washington, D.C., down through Richmond and in towards Hampton Roads, the Norfolk area. And they've taken those and they've stretched them. If you imagine making like sourdough bread and you take the dough and you stretch it as far as you can, they've taken districts that are, as a rule, 20 to 40% more Democrat votes than Republican, and stretch them as far west as they can. And now they're about 52% Democrat votes. Now, one of the things that makes Virginia weirder than all the other states that are trying to do redistricting is we don't register by political party. So when they stretch these districts out, they're really guessing. It's all based on 2025's gubernatorial turnout. If you go by 2021, when Glenn Youngkin won, they actually lose a seat in these stretchings because they've stretched these districts that if Republicans get motivated, they could actually flip one of these seats and wind up with one more seat. If there's a lot of ifs that have to go on if they're successful today.
Well, Joe Thomas joining us from WTON Radio in Virginia. You know, Joe, again, this is going to have national ramifications here. If everybody wins the races they're supposed to win, it doesn't matter. The Republicans are not going to have the numbers based on what happens in Virginia. And I think that's one of the reasons why we need to pay very close attention here to what's happening in the Commonwealth.
Well, as soon as Hakeem Jeffries gets the gavel in his hand, the first word out of his mouth is going to be impeachment. They have, at least from what I'm told, four different impeachment proceedings ready to go in the can over President Trump. And their idea is not necessarily to impeach him and remove him from office, but to gum up everything so that nothing moves. There's no judicial nominee. There's no legislation. There's no budgets. It's all just stagnant for 2 years, and then they'll run against that in 2028.
Wow. All right. This is just insane to me to think this is happening. And again, the amount of money. We had heard reports anywhere from $70 million to $92 million in dark money funneling into the state.
I'm going to blow your mind. So far it is $90 million have been spent on a referendum. 75% of that money has gone to the Vote Yes campaign. Out of that, I think it's almost $70 million. 3% of it came from people inside Virginia. 97% of the money behind the Vote Yes campaign has come from somewhere else. So when you talk about it being a national story, apparently Vote Yes is an agenda for New Yorkers and Illini and Californians because they have nothing else to do with their money but send it to a campaign in Virginia. But that's the power of Barack Obama and Eric Holder. And this has been Eric Holder's baby since he left the Department of Justice in, 2015, when he stepped down as Attorney General. This is what he dove into. This is what he's been doing since he left the Department of Justice, is try to gerrymander these congressional districts, even without, the Trump agenda and what's going on there.
What are you hearing about voter turnout around the state?
Well, it's very high in early voting. Like I said, we already have about 1.4 million votes cast. If it goes like a lot of referendums, we could easily see less than 2 million total votes cast. The people I've talked to that have been into polling places today have not seen any lines. I talked to one voter who said he walked in, walked right up to the officer of elections, took his ballot, voted, and was back in his car in less than 5 minutes. So I'm wondering if the energy was all caught up in the early voting. And we're going to have to see how this plays out. Now, the upside is it's beautiful weather. There's no excuses in Virginia. I mean, it's a little breezy, but it's sunny. There's no rain. There's nothing else to deal with. And the polls are open till 7 p.m. So there's no excuse. It's your normal polling place, with the exception of a couple of the urban areas that couldn't get the schools lined up for it. But for the most part, it's wherever you normally vote in November. Get there and vote.
You know, it just seems to me, Joe, that there's something going on within the Republican world where we've seen so many elections since Trump was inaugurated, and the Republican turnout has been very, very low and unimpressive. And I was looking at, I know in Memphis where I live in Shelby County, we have an election coming up. Early voting, Democrats are kicking our butt with it. I mean, it's not even close. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, what do you think is going on here?
Well, it's the same thing that happened to Trump in his first term. They used to call it the Madison Mafia, the Reince Priebus, Paul Ryan, Wisconsin, never Trumpers, embodied by a John Bolton, let's say. All these folks who went through the Republican machine and understood how the Republican way was. And this guy comes in, wasn't invited. He's bombastic. He's loud. He's all the things that Republicans weren't supposed to be. Came in, kicked over all the china, and there has been animus towards him ever since. And this is another instance where people are saying, yeah, I never liked the guy anyway. And now he's, you know, listen to Tucker Carlson apologizing to, I don't even get how he's doing this podcast now with his brother, but he's apologizing for endorsing and campaigning for Trump. I'd like to ask him, what has Trump done that has bothered you? He's ending the oldest war in American history, a war that Thomas Jefferson said we had to engage in. I mean, if Thomas Jefferson was the most pacifist president the United States has ever had, and even he said that we probably are going to have to end this conflict with the Barbary pirates with a war. And since then, we've just ignored that 300-pound gorilla in the room. It's manifest in Iran. Trump took it on, and everyone's freaking out about it because I think this isn't what they wanted. My listeners feel like this is like World Wrestling Federation stuff, where it's Randy Savage versus Hulk Hogan, and they're out to dinner with each other every night, but they really don't, you know, but they play that they hate each other in the squared circle, because that's what these Republicans and Democrats seem like they are playing at.
Interesting. All right, Joe, we're going to have to leave it there. We're super late for a break, and you know how that goes in our business, my friend.
Yep.
Joe, all eyes on Virginia tonight. I know you're going to have a busy day, and we sure appreciate your great stuff, your great work.
Thank you. Thank you, Todd.
All right. Joe Thomas, co-owner of Thomas Media, WTON Radio. They're in Staunton in Virginia. By the way, those numbers, you folks in Memphis, what's going on here? Early voting numbers, they update these every day. So far, Democrats over 8,400 votes, Republicans 2,100. That is not looking good. That trend is not looking good for the Republicans there. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You know something that really bothered me? Yesterday, we had the Lieutenant Governor of Indiana on the show. Micah Beckwith is his name. And great guy, doing a good job there in Indiana. And he was invited to speak at this high school. They were doing some sort of a career day thing. And after his remarks, they had some free time. And a gaggle of these little radical leftist wannabes, you know, they came, you know, it was a beeline, and they came to the Lieutenant Governor. Rabble-rousers. And The lieutenant governor, being a gentleman, extended his hand to greet one of them, and the teenager refused, said he would not shake the hand of someone that he did not respect. And then, apparently, they started, like, peppering with all of these offensive, nasty questions and just basically being, what is the clinical term, buttheads. That's exactly what they were doing. And I know the lieutenant governor was talking about this yesterday, and he seemed to, you know, brush it off. And it was like, you know, they're kids, and I get it. I don't get it. I don't get it one bit. I mean, back when I was in school, and this goes through my entire school career. So, you know, 1985, I graduated high school back in the dark ages. Even then, never in a million years would you have thought, as a young person, to disrespect an elder, to disrespect an adult, and especially an elected official, especially an invited special guest to the school. And all I'm telling you is this, had that have happened, I guarantee you it would have resulted in a trip to the principal's office and a meeting with the principal, Mr. Ferguson at the time, his board of education. I tell you what, nobody wanted to meet the Board of Education. But I will say this, there's nothing better than a fiberglass panel with holes drilled right through it to knock out the Trump derangement syndrome out of one of those woke kids. You know what I'm talking about? I'm just telling you. It's overwhelming that these kids, I know one of the teachers came over and told the lieutenant governor, you know, I'm really sorry you just had to deal with that. Forget that. Why didn't the teacher go over to those little godless heathen urchins, snatch them up by the collar, and drag them to the principal's office? I don't know about you, but I am over with this world that we live in, where everybody's afraid of the kids. Well, they're just God's precious little children. They're sweet little angels, Todd. They're just children. No, they're godless heathens. And I say, pull out that Board of Education, Mr. Principal, and save America. You want to talk about saving America? Let's do that. Bring back corporal punishment into these schools. Or better yet, all you parents, how dare you? Who do you think you are? Having a principal spank my child? Don't you touch my sweet little innocent boy. How dare you? Well, fine. You know what, ma'am? You come to the principal's office and we'll give you the panel. Well, that's really the big problem, is that parents just they're not disciplining their kids. The kids now think they're in charge, and that's because they are. And I understand. I know a lot of you people get all round. There goes Starnes talking about corporal punishment. Again, it's just child abuse is what it is. Really? Well, what about adult abuse? Because that's what those kids are doing to us. Have you seen these mobs of teenagers running around shooting people? It's all over the place. Charlotte, North Carolina, Raleigh, Norfolk, Virginia, Memphis, Tennessee, Houston, Texas, Miami, Florida, Orlando, Memphis, Tennessee again, Nashville, Memphis again. What is that? Washington, D.C., Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Memphis again? I mean, at what point do you say, to hell with that, get me the belt? I think you have to use the belt because there aren't enough hickory switches to go around. That might cause a problem. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Dylan, there is a story out of West Memphis, Arkansas, and I'm fascinated by this story. There's a middle school teacher over there, and apparently there have been a couple of big stories in the news lately. In McNary County, Tennessee, a lunch lady has been arrested for assaulting a 15-year-old. The young man says that he was just minding his own business.
I was just in the lunchroom, and I said, hello, Miss Lunch Lady, what's for lunch today? And then all of a sudden he says, she hit me for no reason at all. I just got hit. No.
The police said that the child did not have any visible injuries. The woman, the lunch lady, got arrested, though, and said that they accused her of hitting the student on the back of the head. There is video surveillance. I want to know what led to that. Do you really think, Dylan, that the sweet lunch lady slopping down whatever that is, the mystery meat on the trays in the cafe gymnatorium, do you think she just randomly just smacked a kid upside the head?
It depends on how grateful or ungrateful he was for the slop.
Holy cow. That's just, I can't believe it's,
Other news, I heard Waffle House is hiring.
Waffle House or the cafe gymnatorium?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So there's another story here, and I just love the headline of this story. I'm not your bra. I'm not your bra. That's like brother. I think that's slang for brother. I'm not your bro. All right. So this involves a black teacher and a black student in West Memphis, Arkansas. This is Wonder Junior High School from Channel 3, WREG-TV. Tracy Matthews, a 56-year-old teacher at Wonder Junior High School, faces an aggravated assault charge for putting his hands on a student. The police say it happened inside a classroom and was all captured on surveillance video. Damn that video. Here's the thing. I want to get to the end of it. Hold on. Here we go. And then I have a thought. So according to the police report, it all started out when the student went up to the teacher and says, "Bruh, I don't have a computer." And the teacher said, "I'm not your bruh, I'm your sir." And then the kid replied, "My bad, little bruh." And that's when the teacher grabbed the student by his shirt and pushed him against the desk. How much you want to bet the kid called him sir?
100% at that point, yeah. He's sir now.
The police report shows the student then walked out and was followed by Matthews, who grabbed him by his neck, pushed him against the wall, and choked him, making it hard for him to breathe. No, I think he was making it hard for the kid to say, "Bruh." "Yo, bruh, man, you're choking me. Bruh."
This would have been fine when I was in high school, by the way.
The West Memphis School District says it's aware of the isolated incident and appreciates its partnership with the police department. No word on whether or not the guy still has a job there. You know what? This is why I cannot be a teacher, because I wouldn't be that guy. I mean, this is what the lack of disrespect.
Well, now you see people, students going around filming themselves, calling their teachers by their first name. Mm. It's like the most disrespectful thing, because it's not. You're not calling her Kathy. She's Miss whatever.
Yeah, you know what? This would not be an issue. What that teacher did would not have been an issue back when I was growing up.
Oh, no. I mean, some of my teachers had paddles in the room, so they would take care of it before you even got to the principal's office.
So your grandfather, who is my dear uncle, he's not my great uncle, he's, you know, just regular uncle, but there's uncles and then great uncles, but so he's my uncle, my dad's brother. And Uncle Jerry helped frame all of my political beliefs, which explains a lot. So your grandpa was very influential in crafting my political ideology, my worldview.
You can hear that at the Thanksgiving table, by the way. Yes, you guys are mirrors sometimes. Yeah.
So anyway, Uncle Jerry, after he worked for years at MLGW, Memphis Light Gas and Water, and then he retired and he said, "I'm bored," so he decided to go teach school. And I don't know if you've ever heard this story, but your Uncle Jerry also loves guns. Your grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
Uncle Jerry loved guns. He had an arsenal.
Yes, he did.
I mean,
guns and knives, by the way.
I didn't know he had knives.
Oh, yeah.
So when I moved back, well, I didn't move back. When I was flying back, Fox News sent me down to cover something at Graceland. This is like 15, 20 years ago. And I land at Memphis International, and Uncle Jerry said, "You're not going over to Graceland because it's in a rough neighborhood." He says, "Did you bring a gun?" I'm like, "I can't bring a gun on a plane." He goes, "No problem." He says, "Esther Lynn, that's your grandma. Esther Lynn, give him one of yours." And so your grandma pulled a gun out of her purse, and I'm like, "Uncle Jerry, I don't need a gun." He goes, "You got to have a gun." He was really concerned about
my
well-being.
He was looking out for you at
this
point.
Was. Yeah. I mean, it's what any uncle would do. Yes. So anyway, he told me a story about after he retired from MLGW, he went to teach school at one of the high schools in North Mississippi. And he taught, I think, in a shop class or something like that. And so some of the students were a little rough and tumble. And so one day, Uncle Jerry was, and this was back, this may have been in the 1990s. On one day, a student got really upset and told Uncle Jerry, "I'm going to go out to my car and get my gun, and I'm going to shoot you." Uncle Jerry, who was standing by his desk, as he tells the story, put his foot up on the desk and exposed his ankle. And he was packing heat in the classroom. And Uncle Jerry told the student, "Well, what makes you think you're going to make it to your car?" And then
that's awesome.
Then told him to sit back down.
Yeah, that I can totally see that happening right now. That's amazing.
It was back in the good old days.
Back when you could do that.
You could do that kind of thing. You could shoot a student, you know. Well, he backtalked me. What was I going to do?
Corporal punishment. In the policy.
Oh, my God. Go to the student nurse. Go to the nurse. Oh, my word. All right. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You don't want to mess with those shop class guys. I mean, they are hardcore. Let's go to Pastor John in Kentucky. What's on your mind?
First thing's going to be, first of all, I hope you had a nice Easter. I've got 2 points to make real quick. First of all, I'm going to tell you a really bad dad joke, and then I want to tell you a comical moment concerning unruly kid. Todd, did you hear that Peter Cottontail has left being an Easter bunny?
I had not heard that news. No, not at all.
Yeah, he decided to become a therapist. He said, "Hop on in. I'm all ears."
Okay. Yeah, I got that. Okay. Thank you.
Sorry, Todd.
Thank you, Pastor.
Okay. Okay, the second thing is, do you remember during the Black Lives Matter protest, this kid, this black kid, he had a mask on, and all of a sudden you see this angry woman come up and start smacking him up on the back of the head, pull his mask off. She says, "See, I thought you said you were in school." And she proceeded to beat the tar out of him as she was taking him home. Do you remember that video?
Oh, I do remember. Yes, I do remember that video.
She became America's mom. She became America's mom. So I just wanted to hear your point on that, especially when you're dealing with unruly kids today. But I'll just hang up and listen for your comment. Todd, hope you love the dad joke. Love you, brother.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Pastor. No, look, I will say this. There was a time when as much as we feared our principal, I mean, you feared your teacher, but your teacher could still be nice with you. You were terrified of your principal, right? Because you didn't know. That was like going to a dungeon. But if you got in trouble at school, you were more concerned with your well-being once you got back home, because you never wanted to, you know, you never wanted to embarrass the family, right? And so that's a lot of parents used to raise their kids like that. You know what? Don't embarrass the family. Don't embarrass the family. Yeah, it's true. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I think now, Dylan, they have like little rooms, you know, safe rooms. I don't think, do they really suspend people anymore?
I don't even know. It's just maybe a slap on the hand, like virtually.
We used to love that, right? Get suspended, stay home.
That was the best possibility you could have.
Oh my gosh, watch The Price is Right. My goodness, we only had like 4 channels back then. Nobody watched PBS.
I got suspended once, Todd.
What?
Yes.
I am
shocked.
You
know this.
No, I don't know this.
So I was an amateur artist growing up, and I was into drawing guns, very detailed guns. And the night before, my parents, and this is the problem, they told me, "This is a good drawing of a gun, but don't bring it to school." So I said, okay. But sneakily, I put it in my backpack because I wanted my friends to see it. So next day, I bring it to school. Teacher confiscates it. I get in trouble. I go to the principal's office. And the worst part of the whole thing was they said they're going to call my mom. And that's when things took a turn, because I was like, all right, this is going to be worse than anything that you could possibly do to me. And sure enough, they called them. I got suspended. I got sent to this room where I had to write on a piece of paper, I will not draw a gun in class.
I will not shoot up my classroom. Yes. What?
You keep in mind, this is like after, you know, all the, you know, Columbine and all the Sandy Hooks. Like, this is after that. So they're all, you know, on, they're all aware of what could happen now.
I remember this story now only because I told your parents, you have got to let us blow this up at Fox News.
Yes.
We will go to war. And they're like, no, you know.
No, I was in worse trouble at home than
really?
In school.
So you got in trouble at home.
Yeah. So I got to draw still, but all of my devices were taken away. I was spanked all the nines. It was terrible. Wow. I never drew a gun again.
I bet you didn't.
Yeah. I hate heart.
It's what could have been.
What could have been?
You could have been the next Picasso.
I could have.
Oh, man. I had no idea. I'm just telling you that you're not your child's friend. You're not supposed to be your child's best friend. You're supposed to be the child's parent, right? Put the fear of the good Lord in them. I mean, that's the whole point of being a parent, more or less. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to the phones here. North Carolina, Marianne calling us on the talk station. Hi, Marianne. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was standing here making my chicken salad, and I heard you talking about prayer in the classroom and all these people talking about how to vote. I taught first graders for 30 years, and the first 3 years were in Fairfax County. And I would take my first graders down to where George Washington had lived two or three at a time on weekends. And we talked about American history and the love of country and all of that. And I've been teaching in North Carolina. I've been teaching in Carter County for 25 years now. And I was teaching when they took prayer out of the classroom. And honey, we kept pledging to the flag and singing "God Bless America" every morning and saying a grace before we went to the cafeteria.
Oh wow, I forgot those days. I remember that we'd have to line up.
I'm an old lady.
Wow, no, I was just gonna say we're old school.
That was a long time ago.
Wow, it was, but it was. You know, I have to tell you, Marianne, I kind of miss those days.
Well, I can't believe that they're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be instilling God's love and guidance in everybody.
Otherwise, they turn out to be the spawn of Satan. I mean, just little heathen kids.
Well, I mean, there's an angel on one side and the devil on the other side on your shoulders. You've got to listen to the good side. I think God put us here to love each other and help each other on our journey, and that's what I try to spread. I mean, and I am so blessed. I run into former first graders all the time, and they remember all the fun we had.
I love that. And I bet they're not in jail. They don't have tattoos.
I don't know about the tattoos. I mean, times have changed. But, I mean, they're older. Some of them do, I guess. But, I appreciate your show so much. You really do a great job, sweetheart.
Well, thank you, Marianne, but I got to talk about the more pressing issue. Tell me about this chicken salad you're making.
I don't put a whole lot in my chicken salad. I put a lot of celery and a little red onion, and then I put some a little bit of hot jalapeno chips in it.
Ooh,
cut up.
I like that. What kind of mayonnaise do you use?
I don't use mayonnaise.
You don't?
No, that's all I put in my chicken salad.
Wow. Okay. So a lot of folks in the Carolinas, they swear by Duke's mayonnaise.
Well, we ate Duke's mayonnaise when I was growing up, but I don't use mayonnaise.
Well, it does sound like a tasty chicken salad. I'll tell you that much. So.
Yeah. Well, but we do appreciate all that you do.
Well, thank you.
And I pray for. Our leaders, President Trump, and all the people that are working with him, and all the people that are just working to help keep America free and safe. I can't imagine telling my first graders to tell their parents who to vote for or what to vote for.
Never in a million years. Absolutely. Marianne, God bless you. Enjoy that chicken salad, and I hope the weather's nice out there in Eastern North Carolina.
Well, it's chilly today, but it's really been nice. Take care of your sweet self.
I'll do that. Thank you, Marianne. And warm weather is coming your way. It's warming up here in Memphis, so it is on the way. Dylan, how about that? Taking time to, I mean, that's something when you're in the middle of making chicken salad and you call the radio show.
She must love you, Todd.
Hey, now, I do what I can. You know who we haven't heard from in a long time is Miss Janice.
We need to hear from her.
Miss Janice and Miss Carlotta from Rhode Island. We haven't heard from them in a while.
Yes.
So, ladies, we need a health and wellness check.
Yes, please.
Give us a call. We'll hear from Miss Patty on Open Line Friday. She normally calls it Open Line Friday. We've got it's like Charlie's Angels, you know, Todd's Babes.
And they're always making something. They're always making food.
Well, look, I love nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with that. I will say this, though. If you're looking for a great, I've been kind of brushing up on the cooking skills only because I just have a problem with what they're doing in the restaurants. You know, so I'd rather just make it myself. And then I realize I want to start my next big adventure is making homemade bread.
Oh, yeah. You got to get into that. That's trending right now.
Far too many things are going into that loaf of bread. And it's not normal.
It's not. I don't even know how to make bread. So no. I wouldn't even try to list off ingredients.
I'm working on it. But my chicken said I've got a great chicken salad recipe. Mm. You know what the secret ingredient is?
What's that?
First of all, I used to use Hellman's mayonnaise, but now I understand that they've got some Maha issues. Mm. So I'm going to have to maybe switch over to Duke's or Blue Plate.
Well, you know, that starts a whole conversation about the mayonnaise.
I'm not going to get into that today.
You spent the whole show on it.
But I will tell you, the secret fresh tarragon. Mm. Chop up a little bit of it, put it in your chicken salad, and you'll thank me later.
It's time for lunch.
I'm telling you. All right. Hey, look. Well, it's time for us to wrap things up today. Folks, it's been a great conversation on the radio. We're going to be back tomorrow, noon o'clock Eastern, so be sure to tune in and invite somebody, invite a friend to listen as well. And tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, we will see you on Newsmax. It's going to be a great show. Get out there and be good, everybody.